behold him.
Thank you, Lord. We're doing that right now, God. We have a moment of stillness, and we consider you, Jesus. God, you're so worthy of our praises, God. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And Jesus, you saved us. Even though you're the creator of the world, the heir of all things, you single-handedly purged our sins, God, and we're so grateful for that. And we remember that today. We don't want to ever forget that, Jesus, the ultimate price that you paid, not just for your friends, but for your enemies even. So God, help us now to consider you, Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, thanks again for joining us in the middle of our Memorial Day weekend. Here we are. Well, Memorial Day. We as Christians spend a lot of time remembering, reading about and remembering those who've gone before us in the faith and also in our nation's history. And much of the Bible is a record of those who believed and obeyed God or else forsook and disobeyed God. We like to remember the latter or the former rather than the latter. We like to remember those who went before us in the faith. And so we spend time thinking about those men and women. We think about Noah. Noah, who the Bible says believed God when told of a judgment that was going to come upon a violent and rebellious world. And so Noah moved with faith, built an ark, and as a result, he and his family were saved from the judgment. And I'll tell you, faith in Jesus Christ saves us from the judgment. That's a sure thing. We will not go through the judgment that we spoke about last week, the great white throne judgment. That's not our lot, because our sins have been dealt with on the cross. So when we trusted in Jesus, the wrath of God was poured out on him with our sins on the cross. So we'll never go through that terrifying moment we read about last week in Romans chapter 2. That moment when those who've rejected God's gift of Christ or rejected what God had put on their heart before the time of Jesus will stand in judgment by their own works. And you never want to be judged by your own merit, your own works. We want to be judged by Jesus' work on the cross. That's a good place to be. We think about Abraham again, who, when he was almost as old as Herb, he's back there, believed God when told to move to a place he'd never been before, and that one day his descendants, and he had no children at this time, his descendants would be as the stars, if you can number them. And, of course, let's not forget his dear wife, Sarah, who also believed in the same God that her husband believed in. And, of course, we know the rest of the story. Faith in Jesus keeps us moving. We are never stagnant as Christians. We never arrive and say, well, I've done it all. I can just coast now. Never, ever does that happen in the Christian life. We got to keep moving forward. In the great words of St. Rocky Balboa, of course, keep moving forward. And we can speak of the faith of Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab, Rachel, Rebecca, Ruth. By the way, you guys are in the splash zone. I'm just spitting right like crazy. I'm so sorry. I'm going to apologize right now. Whew. All right. Reel it in. Again, Deborah, Daniel, David, and of course, Moses. Moses, who the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater, of greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For Moses looked to the reward. Again, he looked to the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, to heaven, eternity with God. They were looking forward. We look back. We say, well, Jesus has already come. He paid the price for our sins. But we also have things to look forward to still. I'm going to save that for a few more minutes ahead here. But these are those who died in faith in the promises of God. The whole of Hebrews chapter 11 is a whole book that you might call a memorial tribute to those who went before us in the faith. And I think because it was those who died under the old covenant, it reminds us that faith has always been the means by which we approach God, whether you were under the old covenant or the new covenant. Those people in the old covenant, they had to have faith to offer the sacrifice for their sins. So they moved in faith. And we do the same, of course. We humble ourselves and say, Jesus, in faith, I believe in you, Jesus. I'm a sinner. I need you so badly. My sin stands in the way of me and God. And so, Jesus, I believe that when you went to the cross, you made peace on the cross with me and God. And so I trust in you, Jesus. We come by faith. We are born again by faith. We grow by faith. We live by faith. We die by faith in Jesus. That is good to remember. Now, remembering for the sake of honoring and for the sake of not repeating a grave misstep or a mistake that was made in the past originated long ago. This is Memorial Day. Yes, it is. And this day, you might say, was originated in 1865. It was called Decoration Day because the activity of the day was to decorate the graves of those soldiers who died in the Civil War, men and women. 625,000 of our own countrymen compared to 405,000 in World War II. So 625,000, that was a big hole in our country. And so Decoration Day. But long before that, we see Moses and Joshua calling the children of Israel to remember things that happened before them. And so we go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. And this is a moment when Moses is about to die. Now, not all of us know when we're about to die, but somehow Moses knew it. And so he gathers the children of Israel together, the ones that survived the journey through the wilderness. And Moses himself will not go into the promised land, but he knows many of those with him will in just days from then. So he gives them a rallying cry, a final charge, you might say, to those who are about to go into the promised land. And again, remember, they've been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, and now it's about to end. And in Deuteronomy chapter 29, beginning in verse 10, here's what Moses says. He says, all you who stand before me today, before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water. Remember that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you. Again, recall his words, just as he spoke to you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And just as he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt for 400 years, I'm going to add that, remember that, and that we came through the nations which you passed by. And you saw, remember this, you saw their abominations, their wickedness, and their idols which were among you, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. So Moses giving them a strict, stern warning. And he ends his exhortation, his time, a couple chapters ahead, chapter 30, verse 10, where Moses says, actually, verse 19, he says this. He says, as they're all in front of him, he says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life, and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. A good reminder for us. Now, some of us had parents who loved us, and they brought the truth and love of God to us. And Moses says, remember those ones who went before you. But there are some who had parents who did not take care of them, and they hurt them, and they abused them. And Moses is also saying, you know what? Don't choose that. Choose life. that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God and serve him, for the Lord is your life. Even if somebody had a terrible start, because of Jesus Christ, they can have a glorious ending and a middle also. Jesus Christ makes all things new. So Moses telling the children of Israel, choose life. Now, most of the things that Moses spoke of were transmitted orally. He would tell the next generation. Of course, eventually it was written down. But most of history was just through talking to your kids or grandkids about what happened. And there were special days set aside to remember special things, like Memorial Day, which is tomorrow. Special days, sometimes a plaque, a marker, sometimes a statue, a memorial. Remember in 1983, went to Washington, D.C., and we had never been there, my family. My mom just wanted to see one thing. She wanted to see the Vietnam Memorial. Because my mom had only one male cousin. Of all dozens or more of cousins, only one. His name was Stephen, which is my brother's name. And we got to the memorial, and it was fairly new at the time. And she began to walk towards it, and she just wanted to find her cousin on the wall. And then she found it, and of course, as many do, begin to weep and cry, thinking about her one male cousin who went to Vietnam and never came back. And so, like so many do, she took a piece of paper and, you know, pushed against his name, and to see his name again was amazing. And that is a memorial to those who died before us. When Moses died, the leadership was transferred to Joshua. And one of the first mentions of a memorial, something that is of structure, built to remember those who went before us, is found in Joshua chapter 4. As Joshua, they come to the edge of the Jordan River. They're about to go into the promised land. It's been a 40-year wait for some of them. Well, for Joshua, Caleb, and the young ones. And God stops Joshua, and he says, wait a moment. And I'm going to pick it up from there, Joshua chapter 4. And it's a lesson on never forgetting or always remembering, whatever way you want to say it. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. Verse 5, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off dry, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. If you fast forward, it says, and they are there to this day. Pastor David Jeremiah, Shadow Mountain, that little church down there of like, you know, 10,000 people. Pastor David Jeremiah, he made a comment, and he said, we may not use large stones today, but we still can construct memorials as reminders of God's powerful work in our lives and our spiritual heritage. And then he asked three questions, and they're in your bulletin if you want to take a look at them. And I think they're for all of us to answer. If not today, eventually we have to answer these questions. The first one says, what is God doing in your life that is worth remembering or memorializing? What is God doing for the love of you, your family, your husband or wife? What has he done in your life that you say, that's something I need to remember? And then, question two, it says, what reminders or mementos are you leaving to your children concerning God's work on your behalf? Do you have a letter, a photo, a receipt, a piece of art that testifies to what God has done for you? And sometimes we think about family Bibles that have been in families for generations that their grandma wrote on little notes, and now you're reading it 80 years later, and you get that Bible for a gift. That's a memorial. Or maybe your grandmother or mother had a journal, and she wrote in there things that God did in her life, even in the darkest times, and it showed God's faithfulness to her. My kids will get that from Tina one day. Tina's a journaler. Maybe you have a book. Maybe you have a devotional. Maybe you have a song you wrote. Something that one day you can pass on to your kids and say, this shows God's faithfulness to me and to our family. Don't forget it. Always remember. And the last question that David Jeremiah posed, he says, what do your neighbors know about God by the memorials you've created? When we moved into our home, you know, that's like the fourth time I've ever done that. At least I didn't like completely soak my butt that time. That's good. It's a cup of water right here. Just I'm notorious for putting it right behind me. And then, oh, that's a little, I think I'd learn. You think I'd remember? No, I don't. That feeling. But when we moved into our house here in Julian, 18 years ago or so, and Greg Parker, I think you were there that day, but we spoke with the previous owners, the Voss family, Paul and Bonnie Voss. Some of you know them. Before we moved in, we spoke to them a day before, maybe 2 days before, and they said, we want you to know something. We want you to know that our house was a house of prayer. Our house was a house of Bible studies, and we hope that you guys will continue that. And we want to show you a little memorial that we have. And so we walked out by the front steps of our house, and they brushed the leaves off a little bit, and there in the concrete that Paul had put there 30 years ago was Psalm 127:1. And that psalm says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. In other words, God established our family, our house, and now it's your turn. And now we've been there for maybe 20 years, and one day somebody else, hopefully one of our kids, will continue that, opening our house as a place of prayer and Bible study and worship and things like that. That's a good memorial. As simple as etching Psalm 127:1. That's going to go far. I know that's hard to think about when you're 16, 17, 18 years old. Man, before you know it, boom, you blink your eyes, and you're, you know, 59, or you're like Herb, 99. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things, you know, so it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But it's so very important for us to not only remember the faithfulness of God towards us, but also the faithfulness of God in the founding and forging of our nation, the United States of America, which stands unlike any other nation in the world, where it was founded and is grounded on the Word of God. In any serious study of our foundational government documents, we see that God's Word permeates every document that was a founding document. Whether it was the Mayflower Compact, 1620, the Declaration of Independence, 1776, or a few years later, I think 1781, the Constitution, and then the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, in all of it, God's handprint is all over it. And we see it come to the spotlight in the First Amendment, where we read this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Our founding fathers and mothers said, you will never be prohibited from gathering together as Christians. No soldiers will come in and arrest you for speaking the name of Jesus. Maybe you saw last week in North Korea, rounding up Christians. I'm talking men, women, and children, and putting them in jail because they spoke the name of Jesus, or they caught them with a Bible. And they said, you're going to jail forever. That is drastically different from what we have here. We are so spoiled. We don't worry about that. God, help our brothers and sisters, Lord, in North Korea now, God, even as we think about them. Please, Jesus, give them strength, courage, love. God, let them, as Stephen did, see you standing at the right hand of God the Father, Lord, and saying, well done, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. God, help them now, Lord Jesus. Help us not forget them, Lord. But the sovereignty of God and his righteous standard revealed in his word were given great place in our founding, in our documents. Our forefathers and mothers were steeped, saturated, immersed, surrounded by the truth of the word of God. You know, this, there it is. This morning I was sharing. I'm drinking tea. I'm still, I don't know what it is. I'm a little tight. And whether it's the weed whacking the dust, I don't know. But I'm drinking tea like there's no tomorrow. And when I drink tea, I always just leave that tea bag in there. I let it steep for, I mean, this morning I had one that I put in there at 5:20 in the morning and it was 8:20. And so I just let it sit there and soak because I really feel that the best flavor comes out the more you soak in there. Now others, oh, that's like horrifying. You know, my daughter Cecilia, oh, no. It's like 3 minutes max, Dad, then you throw that out. You know, no, it just gets better. So we have a disagreement there. That's okay. I still love her. But the point is, the more you're in the Word of God, the more you're steeped in the Word of God, you're soaked in the Word of God, the more you're willing to step out in faith, to do things that otherwise you would never imagine doing if you were not in God's Word. When you get soaked in God's Word, you do supernatural things that God puts in you to do. Some of those people who were steeped in the Word of God and stepped up to preserve our freedoms that we value so dearly today gave the ultimate price. They paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy. Whether they were in Gettysburg or Luxembourg, whether they were in Kentucky or Korea, whether they were in Antietam or Vietnam, it doesn't matter. In those places, they made the decision. Well, they made the decision long before then. They made the decision maybe years before that if it came down to it, in the moment of truth, they were not going to retreat. They were going to advance. And we owe them a debt of gratitude. We do. Tomorrow's the day we set aside to remember that. And as we often do in America, we take one day and we make it into 3 days. So you can have a 3-day weekend. And some see Memorial Day as just the beginning of summer. Some claim that, like my daughter-in-law, Danae. I keep on trying to tell her it's not right. But anyway, some see it as the beginning of barbecue season. Some see it as just a 3-day weekend. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more. As I mentioned, it was known as Decoration Day up until 1920. And then after World War I, after such devastating losses, our country built the first national cemeteries. Because like I said, 625,000 people that died, you got to put them somewhere. And then on May 5th, 1868, General John A. Logan said, we need to declare a national day of remembrance. We need to have a day. And that's when it became known as Memorial Day. And in 1968, when I was a wee little lad of 4 years old, 1968, Congress established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May that we would never forget, always remember the price that was paid. And I think if you were to have one sentence that sums up all the admiration, the appreciation, the solemnity, the seriousness, the sadness, one expression, it would be this. Some all gave some, but some gave all. All gave some in the battle, but some gave all. Some paid the ultimate price. And people will hear that throughout the country tomorrow as they're going to gather at cemeteries even Julian, 11 o'clock tomorrow. And they'll have a Memorial Day service for those, remembering those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. All gave some gave all. I have a video I'd like to show. If you were here last year, you would have seen it. But I searched for something that I thought, could there be anything better? And I looked through some of them, and I said, I got to go back to this one. So take a moment, take 4 minutes, and consider the sacrifices that have been made for our freedoms. Joe, could you get those lights maybe? Or Ken's got them. There you go. A great picture of our daughter's wedding, or Nick's wedding.
June 4th, 1944.
We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. Their lives ended in places called Bellow Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom.
Oh,
We have all of our veterans that are here in attendance today stand up, please, to honor you. Thank you, guys. Let's pray for them now, too. Thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name, for these guys and gals, Lord, who are willing to give it all, Lord, if called upon. Jesus, we're glad that they're here with us, Lord, and help us to always remember, never forget, if only to honor them, God. We thank you for those brave men and women. We ask your blessing upon them, Lord, as they shine your light, even now, God, in our world that so badly needs you, Jesus. God, help them to be your brave soldiers for the cross, God. Lord, help us now. Be with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Hey, we have a little something, too. I think Joe and Larry, if you have, we have little flags, little tokens of our appreciation. If you raise your hand there, maybe you can walk over there. We've got a little something for you. Herb and Rick, there's John. If you didn't receive anything this morning, Rick Mizuhura, I think. By the way, it's Rick Mizuhura's birthday also. Thank you, Rick. And, wow. Hey, sacrifice and freedom go hand in hand. Just like love and truth, as we've been studying, they go hand in hand. And again, we of all people understand the price that is paid for freedom. Because even though all gave some and some gave all, we know one who gave all for all, both friends and enemies, and that's Jesus Christ. The ultimate sacrifice paid for our freedom. Freedom from the power of sin, freedom from the penalty of sin, and one day freedom from even the presence of sin. We're going to be in heaven where sin will not be tempting us anymore. And that's all through Jesus Christ, who himself said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And he said later, "No greater love has this than a man or a woman lay down his life for a friend. And you're my friends." And Jesus did it. And so we ought to always remember that, that Jesus made the sacrifice and we are called to do the same. And sacrifice our interest, our luxury, our comfort for the sake of others who don't have those things that so badly need the love of Jesus. Well, remembering is the theme for today. And I mentioned at the beginning of the service that we remember the birth of the church today. Now, I don't know what the day was, but I know it was on the Feast of Pentecost because the book of Acts chapter 2 says, it starts like this, on the day of Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was one of the seven Jewish feasts. I mentioned it before already, but it was the day that the children of Israel were called to bring an offering of the harvest from the corners of their fields. And again, the closest thing I have to wheat is a bunch of weeds, so that's what this is. But this is what it probably looked like. It's a shock of wheat, and they would offer this to the Lord as a burnt offering. They would wave it, and the smoke would ascend into heaven. And they would bake two loaves of bread with the wheat, and they would offer it unto the Lord to say, "Thank you, God, for providing for us. Thank you for delivering us through the wilderness. Thank you." It was 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Now, that should be fresh in our minds because the Feast of First Fruits was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And for the Jew, the Feast of First Fruits was that taking of that winter crop, that early crop. They would take the sprigs, the very beginning of their crops, and they would offer it to the Lord and say, "This is the first fruits." Now, for us, we don't think about little radish sprigs or small stuff growing in my garden. We think about Jesus being the first fruits of the resurrection, the Bible says. That when he rose again, never to die again, it was the beginning of the resurrection. Because who would follow that 50 days later? Well, as Jesus rose from the dead and the resurrection, 50 days later, the Spirit of God fell upon Jerusalem, where they were gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. And we're going to read a section of that right now. But the Jewish feast, Passover, for the Israelite, the lamb that was slain, the blood put over the doorpost, the angel of death, the destroyer, passed over their house because in faith they killed the lamb and put the blood on the doors. For us, Passover is Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His blood covers us. That one day we're not going to be, as I mentioned, we're not going to be judged for our sin because Jesus took our sin. The second feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in Jesus, we see our sinless Savior. Leaven was a sign of sin. It was a symbol of sin. So Jesus was the unleavened bread, sinless. And then first fruits, the day of his resurrection, never to die again. 50 days later, Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read a portion of Acts chapter 2. Again, the birthday of the church as we know it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to spend our last 8 minutes on this. Luke writes this. When the day of Pentecost, 50 days after first fruits had fully come, they, the disciples, the apostles, were all with one accord, gathered in one place. Which is right, because every Jew was called to go to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. So they were there for the feast. But just like the Last Supper, something is going to change radically. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then though there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak languages they never learned before. As if I would begin to speak Mandarin Chinese or some dialect from Russia, the apostles began to speak and prophesy. And verse 5 says, there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, lots of Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Again, they were there for the Feast of Pentecost. They brought their grain. They were going to offer it to the Lord. But when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans, the apostles? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" And others, mocking, said, "They are drunk, they're full of wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for we are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 o'clock in the morning, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." By the way, if you are a Christian, you're part of that. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on you. When you came to Jesus and you cried out to him, the Bible says you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. He took residence in your heart. And by that seal, one day, God's going to know you're his. You're sealed. No one's going to break the seal, no matter what you do. If you came to Christ in faith, and you put your trust in Jesus and your identity and your will, you're his child. Now, you might stray one day. Man, it doesn't stop you from being a son or a daughter, no matter what. That's what the Bible teaches. So Peter is preaching. And he goes on. I'm going to fast forward to verse 38 or 36, if you're in Acts chapter 2. He says this, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." In other words, he was the Messiah. He's the one you've been waiting for thousands of years. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'What shall we do? What do we do? How do we get out of this?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, turn away from your self-righteousness, your evil deeds, and turn to Jesus. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words, he testified," just like our junior counselors are testifying. Every junior counselor here can share their testimony in 3 to 5 minutes, and they are testifying of what Jesus Christ did in their lives, that they were lost, and now they're found. They were blind, now they see. They were dead, now they're alive. Whatever way they say it, there was a life before Jesus Christ. There was a moment they came to Jesus humbly and said, "I need you, Jesus, please forgive me." And now there's a third part that is always being updated as Jesus Christ is doing a work in their lives now through the power of the Holy Spirit. They're different. They're changed. And the story goes on. That's why some say the book of Acts is the book without an ending, because we are the modern day church. The Holy Spirit fills us, and God will continue to do a good work until the day Jesus returns, which is the next event in the prophetic calendar. The birth of the church. I took the liberty to buy a birthday cake, and it says "Happy Birthday Church" on it. Now, I'll tell you this, not much is left, because first service, man, they was like sharks. They devoured that thing. They tore it up. They tore it up. Now, usually second service gets the goodies. First service gets kind of ripped off. But we opened up the cupcakes, Memorial Day cupcakes, cake for the church. I said, you can have a cookie, but they just dove in. You had to stand back. And so that's what was going on. But good news, we have a remnant of the cake is over there still. But there are Memorial Day cookies. And so after service, take a moment and, you know, fight somebody for it in the Lord. And just keep, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Just share. But again, happy birthday, church. Congratulations. The church. We are the church. Okay. Some would say 1,990 years from that day. Here we are in 2023. And we look pretty good for being as old as we are, I think. That's what I was saying. But we've got to keep moving forward. We cannot get comfortable. That's the message of the Bible. We've got work to do. And so what do? Do we just hang out for until the Lord comes? No. I'm so glad that Luke, through Peter, wrote about what we ought to be doing. And if you go to verse 42, here's what we do as a church. We continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, we study the Bible and fellowship. Here we are, enjoying each other, hopefully. And in the breaking of bread, communion, and some casual eating too. And in prayers. And it says, and fear, reverence, respect, awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all those who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them amongst themselves. They shared their things. I don't want to miss verse 41. It says, then those who gladly received Peter's word, the gospel, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's why some would say that was the burst of the church. 3,000, that's a lot in one moment as the Holy Spirit comes and they respond and they say yes. And the church is born and they continue breaking bread. from house to house, praising the Lord, having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And that's good to remember. The Lord grows the church. Not any campaign, not any free giveaways, not any smooth-talking, million-dollar smile pastor. That's not me, by the way. But with a charismatic message, man, you got to come humbly to Christ. If the preaching of the cross is not enough, man, you got to check your heart. That ought to draw you. And so let's continue doing those things the church does, all those things that were mentioned. But one big one also I want to add. We've got to be about the preaching of the gospel. We've got to be about witnessing for Christ. Because how does somebody know unless they hear? And how do they hear unless you're the one that shares it? So I want to pray for us, church, that we would have courage and love to speak the truth in love. To not shrink back and say, oh, this is the wrong group to be sharing the gospel in. I better go find them. Better looking group of people. No, you got to go into those places that might not receive you happily, but yet you're willing to risk it for the sake of the gospel, because that's how salvation comes. And if you're here and you've never come to that place, I don't know everybody here, if you've never put your trust in Jesus, then don't miss another opportunity to do that. Let this be the day of salvation. If the Lord is talking, speaking to your heart, then respond to it. Respond and say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I want you. Please forgive me. And then we'll pray also for our offering. If you're visiting, please do not feel any compulsion to give of your finances. You're our visitors. Don't do that. But as the Lord blesses us in abundance, we give of our first fruits. We give to the Lord for the furtherance of his kingdom here and in Brazil, in Hong Kong, in Malawi, from near and far. So let's pray. Let's pray on those things. Dear God, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for giving us a moment to meet together to remember, God, all those who've gone before us in the faith. Remembering those men and women who gave their lives to preserve our freedoms, Lord. As Christians, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Lord, remembering the birth of the church, the birthday of the church. Here we are, God. All these things are good, Lord. But if there is anybody here that has never put their trust in you, Jesus, for the first time, has never called out to you and said, Jesus, I need you. I turn away from my self-righteousness, Lord, my self-dependence, my self-reliance, and I turn to you, Jesus. I want to rely on you. I want to depend on you. I want you to take my sins away, Jesus. Please do that now. Would you please do that, Jesus? And Lord, your word says that at that moment I pass from death to life. So Jesus, thank you for making me alive in my spirit. And God, I'm born again. You said, Jesus, that I am born again of the Spirit, born afresh, born anew. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to grow. I don't even know what to do, Jesus. I'm like a baby. Please, God, give me the milk of the word. Give me friends that will love me in spite of myself, Lord. And God, cause me to praise you, Jesus, to lift my voice and sing songs that I don't even know the words to yet. But God, I want to learn them. I want to learn songs of praise because you died for my sins. You set me free from death and sin. So I say thank you, Jesus. And Lord, for those of us who have walked with you for any amount of time, help us, God, to be about your business, Lord Jesus, to go and bring the gospel, the light, life, and love of Jesus, Lord, to a dark, dying, depressed world, a thirsty world, bringing the living water of Jesus, a world that's under deception, Lord, and lies. Help us bring the truth of Jesus to the world. And Lord, bless this offering now, these tithes and offerings, God, given unto you, Jesus. Bless the food we're about to eat, God, afterwards, and bless our fellowship. Pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.